Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. If you have visited many Christian churches or observed even other religions, you have no doubt seen many practices that have been labeled as worship. This week, we will explore what the Bible calls worship. In quoting the Old Testament, Jesus said in Luke 4:8, "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then in John 4:23 and 24, Jesus said, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The word worship, used in both of these New Testament passages, is translated from a Greek word which means to bow or to do homage, to do reverence, or to kiss. The implication here is that worship of God is to be reverent out of respect for who God is, as well as affectionate and full of love for our precious Heavenly Father who has made us sons and daughters in His own family. R.A. Torrey defined worship this way: "To worship God is to bow before Him in adoring contemplation of Himself." Another definition for worship is to be preoccupied with God. So much of what is called worship today, even among Christian churches, is not worship at all, according to the biblical meaning of the word. There's not that preoccupation with God. Very often there's a preoccupation with many other things. Worship, according to the word of God, is to be a spirit-inspired reverence for God, focused upon God alone. Though music and singing are certainly elements in worship, many times and in many churches, the focus is upon the music or upon the musicians or upon the choir or even the song leader or worship leader, and sometimes even the song itself or its rhythm rather than upon God. This is a corruption of what worship was intended to be. The idea of worship is to bow before God in reverence and honor, not just physically speaking, but in the heart, acknowledging God's greatness, not admiring man's abilities. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to make us true worshipers. When we enter a church, perhaps on a Sunday morning, and the service begins, and oftentimes in many churches, it's referred to as the worship service, the part where there is congregational singing offered up. You may observe that some people are enthusiastic participants in the singing of worship and praises to God. Some may sit back, not participating at all. Others may be irritated by the choice of songs that the worship leader chose for that day. Or because they're not familiar, they may be upset because they're not singing the old hymns that they're familiar with. We must understand that all of these various reactions in a worship service are an indication of what's happening in the heart. Worship is to be an act of reverence, honor towards God from the heart of the worshiper. It's not the responsibility of other people that you have a good worship experience in your church on Sunday morning. It's your very own choice to worship God regardless of the setting in which you find yourself. Think of Paul and Silas in that very dark, damp, filthy prison cell with open wounds on their backs, clamped in leg irons, and yet they were worshiping God. Yet they were lifting up praises and songs to the Lord. Their circumstances were very uncomfortable. The setting was not one that would lead to a deep worship experience in the natural. Many people in churches today think that their choir director or their worship leader is not leading the church properly in worship because of the choice of songs or perhaps new choruses being introduced. And many people find it hard to worship. But we must understand, worship is an act of our own heart. It's not dependent upon other people. It's not dependent upon your comfort level in your church. It's not dependent upon your familiarity with this song or that hymn. It is based upon your own desire and commitment to lift up true worship to God, regardless of the church you may be in, the worship leader's choice of songs that day, or whether the person next to you can even carry a tune. Worship is an individual act from our own heart. Karen Burton Maines wrote these well-phrased words when she said, "Intentional worship means a worshiper is not going to church expecting that worship will just happen, but intentionality means that a worshiper is going to church determined to make worship happen." We must decide that wherever we are, we will worship our God. But how do we enter into a place of true worship? We are told in Psalm 100, verse 4, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. This indicates to us that the way into God's presence is through praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 99, verse 5 says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool." We can enter into that sacred place where we worship God at his footstool through the doorways of thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise are a part of worship, but they are not all that worship implies, in the same way that a door is part of a house, but it is not the whole house. However, we must learn how to offer up genuine thanksgiving and praise that we might come to the place where we can enter into the fullness of his presence, and in that place, deep reverential worship will take place. Genuine thanksgiving and praise take the focus off of self and turn it to God and his goodness. If you remember what the Old Testament teaches about the tabernacle, we can get a glimpse of God's intention for our worship and praise of him. The Old Testament gives us pictures in the physical realm of what God intended to be happening in the spiritual realm. The tabernacle was intended to be the place of worship for the people of Israel. It was divided into three areas: the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The outermost area of the tabernacle was that outer court. It was the largest area, and it was the only area that was not covered by a roof. The interesting thing about it is that in the outer court stood two pieces of furniture. One was the brazen altar where the sacrificial lamb would be slain, and it was located near the entrance to the courtyard. And then behind the altar was the laver, and it was the place where the priests were to wash their hands and feet before entering the holy place. Remember, Psalm 100 said, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." We enter into that first part, getting closer toward the presence of God, by going into that outer court area with thanksgiving. We are thankful for the blood of Jesus represented by the brazen altar. We're thankful for his sacrifice of his life that we might live. We're thankful that he cleanses us from every impurity in our life, represented by that laver where the priests would wash before entering the holy place and the holy of holies. That second area called the holy place held a piece of furniture called the altar of incense. The altar of incense was right before the opening into the Holy of Holies. That incense that would go up is representative of our praise to God. The outer court, we come in with thanksgiving. We go into that holy place with praise. And then finally, because of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that veil that held us back from the most intimate place of worshiping God at his footstool was torn apart from top to bottom. And we could then go in to God's very presence and come to that place of true worship. That's what God has for every single believer. Let's continue to study this tomorrow as we take a look at what the Bible says about worship. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week. Thank you so much for listening. I would just love to hear from you if this broadcast has been a blessing in your life. And if you will call or write to me, I will send you two of my free monthly teaching pamphlets. In these pamphlets, I write each month about a down-to-earth subject that will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. It's a practical teaching that you can also share with a friend to whom it may also be a blessing, which is why I send you two copies. Won't you call or write to me today and request these free teaching pamphlets? You can contact us on our toll-free number or write to us at the address that will be mentioned in just a moment. Or if you have internet access, be sure to contact us through our website. Thanks again for listening. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, have a victorious week.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.